Welcome in to the Strike Zone podcast, as it is a late one tonight, and we appreciate you hopping on after the Braves got that 6-2 win tonight against the Houston Astros. And I want to get, and I kind of want to see how you're feeling after that game one win, because there's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of ups in the very beginning, kind of some downs in the middle, a little bit of worrying towards the end of the game. And so that is the reason why I'm kind of curious as to how you're feeling after the Braves got their very first World Series win for the first time since Game 6 of 1995. That's really kind of sad to think about, but if you really think about it, it's been 26 years since the Atlanta Braves have won a World Series baseball game, and they did that tonight. Now, I am Joe Hunk. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Hunk, and of course, you can get those comments in as we get going throughout the evening tonight. Now, we're going to do this every single night after the Braves play, after the World Series game is over with, win or lose. Now, what's crazy about this is now this actually means that you're going to get at least 5 days in a row of the Strike Zone podcast, plus seeing me, because what's going to happen is you're going to have game two tomorrow night, and which is on Wednesday. On Thursday, you are going to get our video game simulation of the Titans in Indianapolis. Normally we do that on a Wednesday night, but with the World Series game two happening, we're going to be doing this, and we're going to flip-flop those just a little bit, because Thursday nights is normally when we do the Strike Zone podcast. And then when the Braves return to Atlanta on Friday, you have Friday and Saturday. Now, again, I'm not going to say that the Atlanta Braves are going to sweep this World Series, mainly because I never, ever want a sweep in the World Series, just because I want it to actually be entertaining. But let me know how you're feeling after that first night of the World Series for the Atlanta Braves. It was kind of weird because it's been so long since the Atlanta Braves have been in the World Series to see the way sports and television has evolved since 1999, and the last time the Braves were in the World Series, from the video packages to, you know, some of the things that kind of happened, and for it to actually be the Braves in that, it was kind of cool to see. Now you can watch the Strike Zone podcast tonight on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, wherever you are going. We got NMG Stratus has hopped in. He says the Braves will win it in 5 or 6 games. Now, if it gets to game 5, then you start having to deal with what happened to Charlie Morton in this ball game. If you are somebody that kind of hopped in late, then you are going to be going, okay, so what's the deal with Charlie Morton? So Charlie Morton has a fractured fibula. And if you don't know what the fibula is, it's okay, because I honestly had to research this. But the fractured fibula is whenever you're looking at the shin of a person, you have two different bones that are side by side, two major bones. And you have the tibia, which is the thicker, the bigger bone, and the fibula, which is the smaller, thinner bone. The comebacker that hit Charlie Morton fractured the fibula, the smaller bone. And so it's actually amazing that they were able to do an x-ray and to get that information out that he is done. Not that part's not amazing, but the fact that they believe that he'll be back and ready to go for spring training. But that now also opens up a roster spot. So now the way that this works is the Atlanta Braves and the Houston Astros get a 26-man roster. That's what the Braves released right before the game today. Matter of fact, it's probably around noonish whenever the Braves did release their 26-man roster. The way that baseball works is if you have an injured player and that player is unable to return for the remainder of the series, like, say, fracturing your fibula, then you can replace that player with somebody else on your 40-man roster. Now, this is where it's going to get interesting as to the decision that the Braves do have to make now with the Charlie Morton spot coming available. It's going to be a pitcher. We know that it's going to be a pitcher. But what pitcher is it going to be? David O'Brien of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, The Athletic, he's done a few of those things. He was talking of and throwing out a few names of who it could be. Jacob Webb is the obvious choice. He pitched in the NLCS, and that's going to be one. The other ones that you're hearing, NMG Stratus just pointed it out. Rich Rodriguez, the pitcher that the Braves traded for from the Pittsburgh Pirates, is an option. You've got Tucker Davidson is an option as well. And there's a few others. Josh Tomlin is one. No, let's not go the Josh Tomlin route on there. Tuki Toussaint is going to be an option as well. Some of those pitchers are going to be the ones that are going to get looked at. And at least, again, now, Yanoa is one that NMG has already thrown out on the chat. And so the way that this works is going into game one, the Braves know what their pitching rotation is. They know at least the first three and most likely what we're going to see, and we know the first three was going to be Charlie Morton, Max Fried is pitching tomorrow night for the Braves, and Ian Anderson is going to get the start in game three on Friday night back at Truist Park. Drew Smyly is on the active roster. Drew Smyly pitched. Remember, Drew Smyly was part of that bullpen game that the Braves had in game four of the NLCS, and he was the one that actually pitched very good coming out of that bullpen. So there's a possibility that Drew Smyly could be in there. Now, look, there's the other pitcher on here, and Kyle Wright is also on the World Series roster right now. Obviously, he is a starter, so there's a possibility of that. What I think is going to happen is I truly believe that they're going to go with the three that we just mentioned, and then game four, they're going to go with a bullpen game, depending on what the status is of AJ Minter. He threw a ton of pitches tonight, the most that he's ever thrown in a game. He went longer tonight than he ever went into in a baseball game before. And so I do not believe that he is going to be available for the Braves until at least game three. And they could potentially even hold him back until game four. And if that's the case, he could start game four as the opener. Then you go into the possibility of seeing somebody like a Drew Smyly, like a Kyle Wright coming in behind him as the true quote unquote starter, and then trying to get into the fifth or sixth inning, and then the Braves going into their bullpen the way that they do. Matic pitched a little bit longer than what I kind of hoped he would tonight. Also, Luke Jackson. Guys, as much as Luke Jackson got bashed for what happened to him in the NLCS, he pitched very well tonight in his appearance as well. So those are going to be the questions. It's kind of sad that you go from the game starting off as hot as it did with the home run from Soler, which, by the way, if you do not know, he is the very first player in baseball history to start off the World Series with the leadoff home run, which is amazing. But that is something that did take place. You had that. You had the three runs. A lot of those. And look, as you can see, I am somebody that's extremely superstitious. I didn't even write up that little rundown that's to my left, your right. Actually, yeah, you're right. As you're watching this, I didn't even write that up until the very last play happened, because I am that superstitious of anything changing. And so the Braves do get the 6-2 win. Charlie Morton is the big story because of the fact that, first off, that man has balls of steel. Okay, let's talk about his toughness. He gets a comebacker off of his leg, fractures his fibula, goes out, strikes out one batter, gets another batter out, goes back into the dugout, comes back out for the next inning, strikes out Jose Altuve, and then goes, you know what? Something's just not feeling right. That man is a boss. Now, look, it sucks because this is the reason that you brought Charlie Morton in. And I know he's going to be in the dugout, and he'll be a dugout presence and all that sort of stuff. But look, when the Braves were looking at this season, we've said it numerous times, and we've talked about it on here. We've talked about it on 3HL. We've talked about it on various places on 104.5. You do not bring somebody like Charlie Morton in for March, April, or May. You are bringing him in for October. Outside of the bad outing that he had in the first inning against the Dodgers, he has pitched very well. He pitched very well in game one of the NLDS against the Brewers. It was just the Brewers just had a tremendous pitching staff, and really that was the only game that they pitched well. But he deserves a ton of credit for how good he is. And maybe, just maybe, the Braves losing him may not be as big of a loss as possible, because he was only going to get one more start, maybe some relief appearances if this game goes seven. So you're not, it's not like you're losing somebody like a Freddie Freeman or Dansby Swanson or Jacques Peterson, somebody that's going to affect the lineup for the next four or five games. You're losing somebody that was probably not going to pitch again until Sunday in game five. Let's get some of the comments that are coming in. Matt says that he likes Kyle Wright. Kyle Wright did all right in the major leagues. He didn't have an amazing major league season. He got sent back down to Gwinnett. He did pitch very well at times in Gwinnett. They kept him on the 40-man roster. And honestly, with as many arms as the Braves use in the NLDS and the NLCS, they kind of had to go to him. And this is a series, and this is how baseball is going to be for the remainder of 2021, which is, you know, anywhere from 5 to 6 more games. It is going to be a lot of bullpen arms, and you're seeing it a lot in the NFL. And Coach Mack and I were talking about this tonight during Mack Talk off the air, in that, and even Rhett and I were talking about, is those soft tissue injuries, those hamstring injuries and all of that. That is all connected to the lack of OTAs and things like that throughout the offseason, not just this year, but last year and everything during the pandemic. Same way kind of goes with baseball. The arms just are not the same right now. So these bullpens are a lot more valuable than what you're seeing. That's also kind of the reason why the names that are getting thrown out right now to replace Charlie Morton are not starting arms. Tuki Toussaint is kind of an in-between. He can be a long relief guy, or he can potentially be a starter. Or you're looking at your guys, your Jacob Webbs. He is a relief pitching type of guy. Rich Rod is a relief pitching type guy. That's because the bullpen arms are way more important. Can we appreciate how good Will Smith has done this postseason? Will Smith has been fantastic. I mean, again, tonight was another case, even though the Braves were up 4 runs, he gives up a couple of hits. He gives up some stuff that kind of makes us a little nervous through the 9th inning, but he eventually gets it done. He doesn't give up a single run, and the Braves win 6-2. Defense played very well behind him. The only error that really happened was Dansby Swanson's that ended up costing the Braves a run. That may or may not have even actually cost a run, because I don't know if the Braves could turn two on that Swanson double play attempt anyway, the ball that ran out, that eventually went out into left center field. But the Braves and how well Will Smith has played, this needs to be talked about, because Will Smith is not getting that love, and he just got his first save in the World Series. And this is very unique to watch, because this is not something I wonder about. And there's a lot of Braves umpires or Braves fans. I'm reading the comment on the bad call by the ump. There was a few bad calls on the ump, by the way. A few strikeouts that were not strikeouts. There were a few balls that were strikes, a few strikes that were balls. Some of those things. I can't wait to see the umpire report tomorrow when it comes out, to see how accurate the umpire was behind the plate. I'll retweet that at Joe Hunk. There's a few Twitter feeds that you can follow that has some really good information when it comes to analytics for these games. Let's see, if we can win the next two, losing Morton shouldn't hurt too bad. But if we lose both, we are in trouble. And I think that that's where this is. Look, as far as what the Braves are wanting to do in Houston, when it comes to the World Series, you just want to win one game on the road, and then you want to come back home and try to take 2 or 3. And obviously, if you win one on the road and then you take 3 at home, then obviously you win the World Series. But at least taking 2 of 3 at home after splitting on there, then you go back to Houston in game 6 and just needing to win 1 of 2. And that's kind of what you're hoping for. Now, if the Braves can win tomorrow night, which, look, I'm not going to jump ahead and say that the Braves can finish this thing off in 4 or 5 games, but you get Max Fried on that hill, and this is the first time through that Houston Astros lineup, you're going to see the good Max Fried. See, like the other night when Max Fried pitched against the Dodgers and got lit up for those runs, it was the second time through. And the second time through an LCS or World Series or a Division Series or anything like that, I'm always kind of a little bit more weary than that first time through, because the second time through, they've gotten to see him within the last week, and so it's a little bit harder to go through it. Don says that the Braves spent the Astros. Look, the Braves absolutely hopped on the Astros, scoring the 2 runs in the beginning of the game. Tremendous play by Ozzie Albies. Right now, he, to me, was the MVP of that game. I know that Duvall had the home run. Soler had the home run. Rosario had the amazing play to throw out Yuri Gurriel, which honestly was just absolutely hilarious. Him getting thrown out at second base after only being like a foot away from hitting a home run. He did very well. AJ Minter pitched an amazing game, but Ozzie Albies did a lot of things in that game tonight that helped the Braves get the win. Not only did he steal the base to get him into scoring position, you also have the tremendous defensive play that he had at the bottom of the first inning to get the Braves out of the bases loaded jam. He beat out a ball that he hit to Jose Altuve, which, by the way, let me just go ahead and say this, and I'll say it even though it could come and bite me in the tail. Why in 2021 teams are using the shift when you have runners on base is beyond me. That is, to me, not good defensive play calling, mainly because you saw that on that Ozzie Albies ground ball, and you saw the fact that Jose Altuve was, honestly, if that's Carlos Correa, Carlos Correa is getting that ball, and his momentum is going forward towards first base, and he gets Ozzie Albies in that. Jose Altuve had no opportunity to truly get Ozzie Albies at first base because they were in the shift. I think the shift is a horrible thing to do with runners on base, but we're seeing teams do it more and more, and honestly, it's kind of biting them in the tail. And if you're a smart hitter, we saw it part of the Braves in Game 5 of the NLCS. If you've got a runner on first or second base, and you're going up against a team that has that shift, and you can just choke and poke into left field in between shortstop and third base, do it. Because you're most likely going to score a run that way. And I think that that's going to be something that could kind of get rid of teams trying this shift with runners on, because it is really starting to bite their tails. Matt then also says, because we honestly are loaded, we've got some hitters. No, you have some amazing hitters. And the fact that in these 2 games in Houston, you're getting the DH in this. Oh man, you are loaded up in this, because now you don't have to take Jacques Peterson or Eddie Rosario out, and you get Soler into that lineup, and you saw how well he's been hitting so far. You saw the ball that he mashed. He got another hit. It was kind of, you know, again, it was considered a hit, but he got 2 hits tonight. And that's another thing of having Soler in that lineup. Now that he's had a couple of days back from COVID, he's doing very, very well. Braves don't get enough respect that they have a way deeper lineup than the Astros 1 through 9 can all hit. No, that, and I think honestly, this is where a lot of times your teams, when you start looking at depth and you start looking at World Series predictions and things like that, those, you start looking at your bench bats. And a lot of times when you see a National League team try to add an extra bat, they're doing so because they're trying to prepare for the World Series, because they're going to need a DH bat. There's been way too many times where these NL teams have went into the World Series and not had a true designated hitter. The Braves did that by adding Soler. And also, not to look ahead, there's most likely going to be a designated hitter in the National League next year. So getting some of these guys means that you're going to be able to keep this DH next season, and it could mean this lineup is stacked with some of these players that the Braves could bring back. Don says that he said that the Braves spanked the Astros. That's exactly what he meant to say on that. I appreciate that, Don. Shout out to the staff for buying at the deadline. Look, and I can't act like I was somebody that sat here and said, hey, the Braves need to buy. The Braves need to buy. The Braves need to buy. I was actually one that said for the longest time that the Braves actually need to sell. And if they were going to be contenders in 2022 and 2023, they need to sell at the deadline to start getting some young talent back. And I think that that is something that the Braves are being very, very smart with in this so far, in the way that they're going. This is a different team. This, I would love to hear, and this was something I was going to bring up a second ago. I would love to hear from some Braves fans that truly remember what it was like in 91. Because I know that the Braves eventually lost that World Series to the Minnesota Twins, but this was not a good baseball team in July. This was a 500 team. And I think that a lot of Braves fans, we put so much stock into the 90s, into Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine and John Smoltz and Mark Wohlers being your closer and John Rocker and this pitching staff that you had through the 90s and in the early 2000s, you know, Kevin Millwood and those types of pitchers, that you look at this Braves team and every single time you kind of want to compare it because you're like, oh, well, this team is the one that won the World Series. So I don't know if this team has it or not. And this team is nothing like those teams of the 90s. Even though the Braves have very good starting pitching, they have an amazing bullpen. This is a very offensive team. You saw it tonight. You've seen it throughout the playoffs. You've seen it towards the end of the season. You've seen all these bats that have been added so far. And this is a very offensive team. And outside of maybe your late 90s, your early 2000s teams that had your Andrés Galarragas, your Gary Sheffields, Walt Weiss, and those, I mean, Brett Boone, I believe, is a part of that, but we all kind of know about the, and it's not really where they shot, but, you know, hey, that's what I'm saying. You know, outside of those guys, you know, these Braves teams, there is no Rafael Belliard in this. There is no Jeff Blauser on this team. There is no Mark Lemke. There is every single guy that's coming to the plate for this Braves team. They're legit. I mean, honestly, the weakest home run hitter for the Braves, probably Dansby Swanson, maybe Travis d'arno, but both those guys had like 20 plus home runs this year. I mean, you know, that's kind of the cool thing, that as this team has grown throughout the year, and I think that we're starting to see it as well kind of with the Tennessee Titans, is that the more people now finally start to pay attention, the more respect that is kind of being had and given to some of these players right now. Now tonight, in a lot of these Strike Zone podcasts to recap the games are going to be, you know, not your full hour long podcast and all that sort of stuff. We're just doing a little bit of recap, but there's going to be something that, and I don't know about you, but I am a patch snob. And what that means is I'm somebody that I am all about World Series patches, Super Bowl patches, NBA patches when that was a thing. Kind of still is, but not to the way that it was. Same thing kind of goes for Super Bowl. They're all kind of generic now. If you noticed, the Astros nor the Braves are wearing World Series patches on their jerseys. Now, they have it on their hats, but they do not have it on their jerseys. There's a reason for this, and it's not something that Major League Baseball is trying to, hey, let's see if everybody likes not having the patches on the jerseys and all this other thing. This is a COVID issue. And I know you're going to, what? What does that even mean if it's a COVID issue? This has to do with the company that makes the World Series patches. Those teams or that company had the ability to make the patches for the teams, as in the players, the coaches, and those. But the company that Major League Baseball uses to make patches didn't have is they did not have the ability to mass produce the patches so that the Braves and the Astros could put them on jerseys to sell inside of their team stores. So if you're like, you know, possibly want to buy it from like a, you know, somewhere overseas, or if you are somebody that does want to go to Truist Park on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and you want to go into the team store and the Braves are making those jerseys like they always do, but you want that World Series patch on it. That's the reason, is because they're only given so many that they can put, and the company couldn't make enough so that the Astros and Braves could put them on the jerseys to actually sell. So what Major League Baseball decided to do is, instead of not having enough of that, they just went with no patches on the jerseys at all this year, and they just did the patches on the hats because they had the ability to get all of those patches in and get those put on the hat. So if you're like me and it kind of looked weird because I look forward to seeing that patch. As a baseball player, whenever you started getting into the upper tournaments because you kept winning, the moment you started adding patches to your jerseys, those jerseys, you just felt like it felt more real. And it really felt kind of weird tonight to look at those Braves uniforms and not see the patches. And the same thing goes for the Houston Astros, and then not see those patches on the sleeves. And so, I mean, I still have jerseys from when I played travel ball and AAU and all these other ones, where when we made it to the tournament, we had to start putting patches on our jerseys from the leagues that we were playing in. And man, those patches felt like the World Series patch. It'll be back next year. It's not something that Major League Baseball is going to do, mainly because Major League Baseball is all about marketing and they're all about making money. And they know they can make money off of these World Series jerseys, so they want to make sure that they can sell them. So, little FYI for you, if you're hopping in and you're somebody that was wondering, okay, where are the patches? Even if it just says WS21, which, you know, basically the World Series patches went as generic as the Super Bowl and the NBA Finals patch, but that's the reason why that was taking place. Now, tomorrow night, you are getting a matchup for the Braves that, quite frankly, favors Atlanta wholeheartedly, because Jose Urquidy is going to be pitching for the Houston Astros. He's won four of his last five, but he was also the pitcher that gave up the five earned runs to the Boston Red Sox in the ALCS whenever the Red Sox took the 2-1 lead early through those three. You can go back. There's been a couple of bad starts that he has had, giving up 4 and 5 runs throughout his last five games. But obviously the Braves have Max Fried on the hill, which is going to be something major that it really favors Atlanta. I'm not saying the Braves are taking a 2-0 lead going into and going back to Atlanta for Friday night in game three, but the Braves are in an amazing spot right now after winning game one. I will be back tomorrow night after immediately following game two, the exact way I was here for game one, and we will recap that one. Also tomorrow on 3HL, we'll be back for that as well, starting at 3:00. Coach Mack is going to be joining us starting at 3:20 as well, getting you ready for Colts and Titans. So we will talk to you tomorrow night, immediately following game two of the World Series between the Braves and the Astros. Have a good night.